bless you all. While we're standing, thank you to the musicians. Now we'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Usually, when I minister very close together, because I was up with Good Shepherd Fellowship on Sunday, I minister the same sermon, because it's kind of fresh, and I was thinking about that. But just a few minutes ago, as I was going by the bathroom, a thought came to me: standing on the promises. So we'll have to leave the four square for another time, but we trust the Lord will bless us this evening. So we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 with one verse, verse 20, and it says, "For all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." All the promises of God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that we can stand on those promises. We pray that something will come forth tonight to encourage, even through such lips as mine, to bless, even through such ears as ours, and to draw us one step closer to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. So, standing on the promises, that's what I got. And I've got a few scriptures here. And so we're going to dive right into the scriptures, because there is a promise for every situation in your life that you're going through right now. There is a promise for every one of us that God wants us to claim and to take a hold of and to use in a way that we need to use that we haven't been using at this very time. There is a promise for us. And you know, for some of us, it might be a promise that we had in action in our lives long, long ago. We just need a reminder to put it back in action in our lives. And for some of us, it might be a brand new promise that we've never quite seen before. But God is bringing and opening our eyes and saying, now I want you to walk in this faith. I want you to overcome in this way. I want you to stand on the promises. Sometimes we stand on the promises and we achieve great victories, or what we would say are great victories if we look with our fleshly eyes. But you know, one of the things that we think about is, when you think of a revival, what do you think of? And many people, when they think of a revival, they're thinking of speaking in tongues. They're thinking of pillars of fire coming and being seen. They're thinking of miracles happening. They're thinking of all those things are good. And all those things are in the Word of God. And I don't say anything bad about all those things. But generally, all those things have one thing in common, that they're all sensual. We're looking for the signs of revival by our senses. We're looking for the signs of the promises by our senses. That's not where God wants us to be. Okay? What's more glorious in the eyes of God? The children of Israel who stood on the promises of God and were delivered from the fiery furnace, such that the king of the world at the time sent out a message and said, no one say anything bad about the gods of the Jews, or we're going to destroy your house. Okay? Or Isaiah, who was sawn asunder, standing on the promises of God. Which one's more glorious? Well, we might look at it and say, it's more glorious to be delivered from the fiery furnace. But God said, it's equally glorious. They were both expressing my glory. And so I want us to get away from saying, you know, I'm looking for a promise of God to deliver me out of this problem. That might not be the promise that God has for you. It might be the promise of God that I'll never leave you and forsake you, no matter what you're going through. And you just have to stand on that, like Paul stood. And he said, God is with me and his grace is sufficient, even though he prayed for a situation to depart from him. And he said, that's the promise I'll stand on. So we're not looking for great signs and wonders. If God gives them, that's wonderful. We're looking for the promise that God has given us to stand on this evening. We're looking for the promise that God is speaking to your heart this evening. I don't know what it is, but God knows what it is, and he's trying to bring it to you. And we're going to start our promises in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Yeah, here's a good one, but God, and verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Amen. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil. But with food and raiment, let us be content. You know, the children of Israel had that promise with food and raiment. And their food never ran out. Every morning they gathered it from the ground, and their clothes didn't run out, and they didn't have to have yeah, so much for a capitalist society. They didn't have to buy new clothes, and they didn't have to get new shoes. They relied on God, and God kept that stuff fresh and good for them. And it's wonderful. God fed 5,000 people. And God will feed us too. Okay? And you stand on that promise that you said, with food and raiment, I can be content. So if I don't have food and if I don't have raiment, Lord, I can be discontent. All right? Well, I don't advise being discontent, but just be like, Lord, you promised this. Bring the promise to me. We don't want to be discontent like the children of Israel. We want to be content in the provision of our daily needs by the Lord Jesus Christ, of our food and our bread. And not just that, let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. One of my favorite scriptures, something that I'm probably say too much, but I love them all. Just imagine this, and they're on the boat, and they're talking to Jesus, and they didn't bring any food with them. Okay. And verse 5, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they'd forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread. And we get to that place again, where it's this difference between what you can see, what you relate to in this physical world, and Jesus is calling us one step higher. And I can imagine, you know, because in that reasoning among themselves, saying it's because we have taken no bread. No? What did they actually say to each other? Oh, beware of the leaven. Oh, we forgot the bread. Does that mean we shouldn't? I know a shop nearby, but it's run by Pharisees' family, and he's just said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Maybe we shouldn't get bread from there. It's like, no. You don't understand. Okay? Because every spiritual food, every physical need is related to a spiritual need. Not only will he provide our daily bread for our physical bodies, he will provide our daily bread for our spiritual bodies as well. And you know, if you have to choose between the physical and the spiritual, which one should we choose? The spiritual. You know why we should choose the spiritual? Because the spiritual will sustain the physical. Okay? Elijah prophesies, runs into the desert, he's hungry, he's depressed, he's down, he's weary. God gives him a little piece of cake, another little piece of cake, and tells him to go on a journey, and he goes on the power of that food. What food? Was it the actual cakes of bread that stayed in his system that long? Or was it the spiritual food where Jesus said, I'm not hungry, I've just eaten. I have meat that you know not of. Oh, did someone else come by? Did someone else give you a piece of bread? I want not. No, 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 no. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. So if God sends you somewhere, he'll provide for you. Even if he doesn't provide food for you, he will provide what you need to get you to the end. Isn't that wonderful? Stand on the promises. So, Philippians 4. I've got 8 here. I was going to stop at 5 because I thought 5 is the number of grace. And I thought, no, I'm going to carry on. And I got to 7. I was like, 7, that's a good number to stop. But then something else came to me. And I thought, oh my goodness, I can't leave that out. So we're going to go all the way to number 8. And you know what number 8 is? Eternity, the new beginning. Okay. But I have a new Bible that doesn't have the Bible tabs in it, so it takes me a bit longer to get to where I need to go. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. So all your needs will be provided. And one day the Jews came to Peter and says, are you paying the temple tax? Oh yeah, of course, we're up to date with our taxes. And Jesus said to him, hey, Peter, come over here. Okay. And he's like, Peter, who charges taxes for whom? You know, who charges the taxes? Like saying, who pays taxes around here? The poor people or the billionaires? And we say like, well, poor people pay the taxes. Billionaires, you know, they have the lawyers. That mean they don't have to pay the taxes. It's like, okay, so if we're billionaires, we're free. And Peter was probably, didn't catch on to what Jesus was trying to say. He's like, yeah. He's like, okay, Peter, you're not seeing what I get, but you get it one day. But just in case we offend them, okay, go fishing. First fish you find a piece of money, give it to them. And then you can tell them, yes, we've paid, and you'll have actually paid. Like, oh, okay. There's heard a wonderful, I can't remember the name of the brother, wonderful testimony. His brother went, a minister, and he had no money. And he had his wife and his young baby, and they needed money for formula, for milk for the baby. And he said, but he was invited to preach. So I was like, oh, that's exciting. You know, I get to preach and the church is going to give me an offering and I'll be able to buy some food for the baby. All right. Like, oh, that's wonderful. So he preached and the church didn't give him an offering. Okay. Now, I don't think they were acting out of malice. God has a way of working these things out, you know. And he said he was so upset, and he was walking, and he had a stick, and he hit it on the ground. And when he did it, it brushed some dirt aside and uncovered some money. And he picked it up, and it was just the money he needed to buy the baby formula. Okay? My God will provide all your needs. Okay, and so if you're needing money, if you're in financial difficulty, well, look to the Savior. Look to God who provides all your needs from the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Because, well, I think I've talked about this before. The Sun King, I think it was Louis the 15th of France. Richest man in the world at the time. France had a worldwide empire, was powerful, it had militaries that dominated Europe. It was, and he would get up in the morning and he would just stretch out his arms and people would disrobe him, they would wash him, they would dress him, they would serve him his breakfast, they would do everything for him. servants. Okay? And the idea was, if you do that for the king, he doesn't have to worry about what clothes he's going to wear this morning, doesn't have to worry about what food he's going to eat. All he has to worry about is affairs of state, is the high things of the empire, of the cities, and of the is directing these millions of people that are under his control. That's all he has to worry about. The mundane things will take care of for you. And that's the principle behind behind many things when you get into levels of leadership. Someone else takes care of the little things for you, you know. If the president says, I want to go and visit the Queen of England, he doesn't pick up the phone and dial Buckingham Palace and say, hey, when can I come? He has people to do that for him. He just sets the policy and the underlings carry it out. Why? Because if you don't have to worry about the details, it lets you focus on the important things in your life, right? And God wants to teach us the same lesson. I'm hungry. Oh, no, you shouldn't worry about that. That's just details. You're letting the details bug you. Don't have any money, Lord. Details, details. You're letting the details bug you. It's not a detail. I've got rent coming. No. That is a detail. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay? And God has given us this promise, and he's trying to take us through these experiences to show us that everything that we care about in the central realm, everything that we can see, everything we can hear and touch and feel and we're hungry about and we're worried about, that's all details. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hard lessons to learn, but we have to learn them. And God is teaching us them bit by bit. How to stand on his promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, that are from the riches and of his glory. Let's turn to Mark 16. Oh, this is a wonderful scripture. This is a scripture I don't think we live by enough. May we live by this scripture more and more as the day draws near. And he said unto them in verse 15, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Well, I say I'm a believer. Are these signs following you? Well, I believe that's the promise of God. May I stand on that promise. The signs are following me. I may not see them manifest, but they're there. Because I'm a believer. Follow God and stand on his promises. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Oh man, we need that with today's diet, don't we? All the high fructose corn syrup and everything else. But we have this promise. Pray over your food. Claim the promise, I shall drink deadly things and it shall not hurt me. I remember that when I come round to your place, Pam, and you got some of that Mountain Dew there that I like so much. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And healing is the children's bread. Praise God for that. Physical needs, our spiritual needs, all our needs are met by Jesus Christ. Okay? But remember, just like we talked about with Paul, and he had a physical ailment, as best we can understand, a thorn in his flesh that the devil could provoke him with. Okay? And Smith Wigglesworth was the same. You know Smith Wigglesworth wore glasses? And I believe I remember the story of one of his children asked him, well, Dad, you heal all these people. In kind of brutal ways. You've heard the story about him punching the sick person in the stomach? Yeah. No? Yeah, Smith Wigglesworth did. Someone was sick and he punched him in the stomach. So like, you killed him. He's got a cancer in his stomach. He said, no, 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 I cast out the devil. And he was healed. Okay. He said, you do all these amazing things. Why do you wear glasses? Why can't you just claim your healing? He said, well, there was something in his past. He said that God couldn't give it to him because of something in his past. You see? And so maybe there's something that, like with Paul, but you still stand on the promises, because the promises aren't about what manifests in this realm. They're about what manifests above. They're about the spiritual side. But healing is there for us. Stand on the promise if you need it. Listen, it's yours until, you know, we have a fridge at home. Okay? And we put things into that fridge. And sometimes they're quite yummy things. You know, leftover birthday cake. You know, chicken wings. And if you don't put a label on it when you put it in the fridge, anyone can open it and take that yummy thing out and eat it. And I've been in the situation before, I confess. Honey, where's the last piece of cake? I was saving it for Luke. Like, yeah, that was good cake, wasn't it? I didn't know. The name wasn't on it. Listen, these promises are for you unless God says no. You see? Go to his big fridge of promises, of yummy miracles, of delicious promises. Take what you want unless God says not for Derek, for Luke. You see what I'm saying? Don't have this attitude that I can only have it if God says I can have it. Okay? God's already said you can have it. Have the attitude, God may stop me having something if it's part of his plan, but otherwise, I'm going to stand on the promises. They're all for me. Amen. Amen. Healing. Ah. Praise God. Amen. All right. I like this one too. Ezekiel 36. You know, and just to establish this principle, the blessings of the seven church ages, the blessings of the seven churches are cumulative. Okay? So when we get to heaven, every one of those mentioned in the church ages are for every one of us. It's just like the revelation of Jesus Christ through the seven church ages. It's not he's revealing himself in one way. I'm the Alpha and Omega. And that's only to the, you know, I'm the root of David. And it's to complete the revelation. And so the promises that he gives us in the Old Testament, we can claim those as well. Because we're heirs of the same promise. Okay? So, just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't mean it's promised to the Jews and not to the Gentiles. But here's what God said in verse 25, and such a lovely journey here. Then, where we'll start, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. And from all your filthiness and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And you shall be my people, and I shall be your God. And I will take you from that place of strangers, and I'll clean you up, and I'll give you a new life, and I'll give you a new spirit, and I'll put my spirit in you so that you can walk in my ways. And I'm going to do all these things to you. In a way, whether you like it or not, this will happen to you. Okay? But if you don't go along with me eagerly, keenly, you'll have to come along with me kicking and screaming. All right? And God does that to us. And there are certain times in our lives where we've just been right in the flow and the will of God. And we're just walking in the, and everything is so easy. And God is taking us from one thing to another thing. We just say, yes, Lord. And other times God tells us to do something. We're like, I'm not doing that. That's for somebody else to do. God's like, uh-huh, is that what you think? And then life becomes harder and we start having to kick and scream because God says, no. This isn't about what you want. This is about what I'm going to do to you. Okay, one way or the other. All right, if you're the elected, sorry, you don't have any choice. Okay, like I've said before, your kids can run around all they want. Okay, my kids, they're responsible for my standards, okay? Which is sometimes I feel bad for them, I guess, but you know. And it's the same with God. Other people's kids can run around, not my kids, all right? So he said, I'm going to bring that Holy Spirit onto you. Oh, such a wonderful thing when we can see a promise fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my voice. These are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Third hour of the day, it's 9 o'clock. Okay? Six is the first, the sun comes up, it's the first hour, 6, 7, 8, 9. And it shall come, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Amen. That's for us. That's for us. And if you haven't been born again, that's for you. That's a promise of God. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is unto you. Okay? To your children. To them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You shall receive power. Amen. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And so this is a wonderful thing because, well, we'll get into what the Holy Spirit brings, but can you see now, we're moving from promises of God that are made manifest in the spiritual, in the physical realm, into promises of God that are made manifest in the spiritual realm. And these are the ones that we should really be focusing on. Because if you focus on the physical realm, you can manifest those promises 100% without having anything inside you. But if you focus on the spiritual, those promises will manifest 100%, but they'll come from a different place. Okay? They won't be who shall ascend into heaven to pull God down from above. It's like, God, come down and do a miracle. And with the right attitude, you can use God in that way. 100%. Okay? But he was saying, depart from me, I didn't know you. You just used my power. You weren't used by my power. But if we can say, let's get close to Jesus. Let's get close to Jesus. Let's get close to Jesus and have him inside of us that he can flow through us as he likes. Amen. Then those physical things will manifest, but in the right way. In his time, not in our time. Okay? So let's look at the spiritual. Let's look at what God has for us. And let's turn to 2 Peter to see this, because this is really wonderful for this day. Okay? And we talked about the drinks. We can drink deadly things. Shall not harm you. All right, and that's a wonderful thing and a wonderful promise. But a better promise. We're going to come into this better promise now. 2 Peter, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. How do you know you've got the same faith as Peter? Because you've got the same Holy Spirit as Peter. That's the only way you can know. Alright. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I'm telling you, 2,000 years ago when Peter wrote these words, he could see spiritually the corruption that was in the world through lust. And today we can see the full fruits of the corruption that is in the world through lust. And Peter knew back then that we would need to escape from it, and that the way to escape from it was by entering into the divine and precious promises, the great and precious promises, and enter into the divine nature, the Holy Spirit, and we could escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And today it's exactly the same, except it's even more manifest. It's even more obvious to our eyes that there's corruption in the world. It's even more obvious in our eyes that this corruption is born of lust. And it's everywhere. And you can't walk down the street without seeing some kind of perverse sign of the corruption that is in the world through lust in front of your eyes. You can't open the... can hardly open a cereal box without reading something about the corruption that's in the world through lust. You understand, the marketing is all based on, you know, the appealing to the senses. And the senses are corrupt, and the most powerful way to appeal to them is by appealing to the corruption that's in the senses, because we all respond to that. Okay? But how do we escape that? It's not by going up a mountain and by living in a hermitage. It's not by cutting ourselves off from everything that surrounds us. It's by getting into the divine nature. And when we get into the divine nature, all those things will look different to us, because we will see them not through our sensory eyes of our fleshly nature, but we'll see them all through his eyes. Through the divine nature eyes. Yeah. And we'll be able to escape the corruption that's in the world. Yeah. Through lust. And again, this is something, like I said, right at the beginning, the Hebrew children wouldn't bow down to the idols. And they were delivered. They escaped the corruption. You could say the fire didn't touch them. But through the dark ages, thousands of saints stood for the word of God. And the Catholic Church would come and say, "Do you believe this is the word of God?" And they would say, "Yes, I would do." Light the matches. Burn them at the stake. We have to burn this evil out. Well, even more so, woe to those that call good evil and evil good. Okay? And we know that Tyndale was burnt at the stake. I believe it was Tyndale burnt at the stake. Because he was translating the Bible and sending the Bible into England in the native tongue to open the eyes of people. Great heroes of this path that we walk. people that the world was not worthy of. God working through them and fortifying them and them seeing what was ahead of them and saying, I have escaped the corruption that's in this world. And when he's tied at the stake, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And that prayer was so powerful that it had the desired effect. Okay? And out of that prayer came a situation where God could start moving and Wesley could rise. No? And you think about it, even today, we, as we read this, we're reading on the foundation of William Tyndale. But he was burnt at the stake. Did he escape the corruption? Did he escape the fire? Well, he can say no, he was burnt at the stake. But when we get to heaven, he'll say, it was nothing. It was well worth it. It's like a moment of pain compared with what I have now. It's like going to the dentist and getting a toothache taken care of. Such rest and peace beyond there. Okay? Counted his life not... Praise God for examples like that, and may we step into those same examples through having that same power of God working through us. And maybe it will be to escape the fiery furnace and to the glory of God. And maybe it will be to be burned at the stake to the glory of God. God knows what's needed in each one of our lives. And God knows what's needed in each part. Okay? Because there was... I was reading about some rock and roll people and how the government was trying to put warning labels on the albums so that people would know that this is bad music or potentially provocative music. And one of the artists said, we actually, you know, we pushed to try and get the labels put on our records because we knew if we got that mark, it would increase our sales. You see? That's the same thing. It's like, why did the Roman Empire turn Christian? It's because there was a group of people who said, this is so true, we'll lay down our lives for it. And people saw that and were like, wow, what is so true? What is so powerful that they're prepared to die for it? Like, this is worth looking into. Okay? God knows what's needed. Amen. But he knows how we can escape the corruption that's in this world through lust. Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Oh, this is such a wonderful, wonderful scripture. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye shall know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And you've got to remember, this is before the crucifixion. How much did the disciples know of what was going on at this time? Or they knew something special was happening. They knew that this was... There are certain points in history that you're like, wow, I wish I could have been there to see what's going on. fly on the wall, you know. What was going through Abraham Lincoln's mind in the train journey as he went to Gettysburg for the Gettysburg Address? Writing down a 3-minute speech that was so powerful, so encapsulated the spirit of America and the spirit and the motivation of what they were trying to achieve, that today it lives on. And he'd be like, love to be sitting there as he was drafting that and be like, Mr. Lincoln, tell me what you're thinking right now. Okay? Pivotal moments in history. What would it have been like to be in the control center at NASA at Apollo 13? And the spaceship is out of control, veering through space. And you've got all these guys coming together and saying, we've got 3 men up there. Can we bring them back alive? How are we going to do it? And just listen to the various things they discussed and how they figured out how can we have enough oxygen? What are we going to tell them to do? How do we bring these people back alive? What would it have been like to be there when Nebuchadnezzar cast the children into the fire? Wouldn't you like to be there? And then you say, wow, what would it have been like to be with the shepherds when the angels came down and said, unto you this day is born in the city of David, Christ the King. It's like, oh, how did they react? What were you thinking, Mr. Shepherd, when you went down there and you saw this tiny baby? What were you thinking, Mary? What would it have been like to be there at one of the pivotal moments in history, the redemption of humanity, the blood sacrifice that purchased the whole world back from sin into the hands of God? Well, if you were there, you'd have been like, well, amen, Lord, this is really deep, which is code for, I don't understand what you're saying. So if a preacher tells you, we're gonna study something really deep today, he's basically telling you, you're not going to understand what I'm saying to you, but I think I've got something here that, okay, well, God in simplicity. And you'd be like, what's going on? And in the garden, and God is about to pray that prayer of nevertheless not. You know, if you'd have been there, you'd have been asleep too. Okay? So Jesus was talking these things and explaining these things. You don't understand them now, but I'll send the Comforter and he'll bring all these things to your remembrance. And then after Jesus rose from the dead and the road to Emmaus and he started opening the scriptures and they started saying, oh, I remember when he said this. I remember when he said that. Oh, that came to pass just like he said. Brothers and sisters, sometimes I think the rapture is going to take us and we're not going to know till it's passed and we'll just step into another body and be like, oh, that's what was happening 3 weeks ago. That was what was happening last year. I didn't realize, but God was preparing our hearts in a way we didn't understand. If the scripture is any guide to go by, this is how it's going to be for us. So don't worry. Put your hands in God's hand. Stand on his promises that he's going to teach you. He's going to bring these things to remembrance. He is going to lead you into all truth. Okay? Amen. Praise God. Put your hands in his hands. Amen. And don't worry. Because you know what? Understanding the mysteries, like details. Not that you shouldn't understand the mysteries, but you should understand the mysteries that God gives you. Then they're not mysteries anymore. And you'll be like, why did I ever think that was mysterious? It's simple. It's like, yeah, that's right, it is. God hides your eyes from it till it's time to reveal. Amen. So you don't have to worry about the deep things of God, as some people teach the deep things of God. What you have to worry about is, do you have a deep relationship with him? Do you hear him? Does he hear you? Is there anything between you and the Savior? Is there anything that's stopping you from standing on our on his promises? If your heart condemns you not, search your heart. Does it condemn you? If it condemns you, take it to God. Lord, help me get rid of this condemnation on my heart, because it's an indicator that things aren't right between us. Okay. Then make it right, and then say, Lord, let me get to know you more. Amen. Amen. So he's going to lead us into all truth. I've got eight. And I was like, well, if I do 5 minutes on each, that's 40 minutes. But we got to six, and it's 40 minutes. I'm going to... Let's turn. I don't know what I wrote down here. Acts 16. For this... Oh yeah, he's going to lead you. Don't worry about anything. Okay? Verse 6. Now when they'd gone about through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia and they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And so here you go. What are you going to do with your life? Do what you want to do. Okay, there's Paul and his group. We've gone through here. Let's go to Asia. Like, the Lord's forbidden us. Oh, okay, that's fine. Where shall we go next? Let's go to Mysia. Okay, fine. All right, where are we going next? Bithynia. I'm getting these names wrong. Bithynia, I think. Let's go there. Oh, no, the Lord's forbidden us. God is guiding them. How? By them doing what they want and God saying, no, not this way, the other way. Like I said, it's that fridge. You want a chocolate cake of God's goodness, and you open the door and you see it there, and it doesn't have a label that says, do not touch. That's your chocolate cake of God's goodness. Go where you want, eat what you want, take whatever blessing you want, and God will tell you if it's wrong, if it's not for you. I've told you the story about training dogs before, haven't I? Okay? No? All right. It's a... very sad sight, and some of you will know what I mean. If you see a dog that's been abused, all right, that dog is so scared of doing something wrong, it will stand there with its tail between its legs shaking and will not do anything. And if you try and attract it, you have to really work with that dog to start getting it to obey commandments, because it's so petrified of being punished that it will not do anything. You know what I mean. Okay? But if you take a good-natured dog that's had a good upbringing, that's eager to please, you can teach that dog, if it's smart, you know, some dogs are kind of dumb. If it's smart, you can teach it just about anything. Okay? You can teach it tricks. You can teach it to... my favorite story about this is... the shepherd who called over the vet and said, hey, watch this. And he said, he told him, you like this. He said, oh, you know, I left my coat the other side of the field. I wish I could have it. And he just said that, and the dog went over to the other side of the field, got the coat, brought it back to the shepherd. Okay? Because the dog was attentive to the master, knew that it wouldn't be punished for going and doing something that was the master's wish when it wasn't his commandment. Had confidence in that relationship. Okay? And if you have that kind of dog, you're blessed with a good dog that is trainable. Now, if a human can train a dog, God can train a human. Okay? I mean, yeah, amen. But what kind of human are you? Are you one that's so petrified of doing something wrong that you won't do anything? Or are you one that's happy and eager to please and open to correction? That if God says, no, 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 you're listening, and you're like, oh, sorry. Okay? And it doesn't get to the point where he has to beat you over the head to get you to not do something. You know what I'm saying? Okay? If we can be like that, willing to please God, attentive to his commandments and his desires, and always on the alert to say, is he saying yes or no? Not is he saying yes or no, but is this pleasing to him? Just that. And we figure out, that's not pleasing, I'll go a different way. I'll do what I want to do, but if I see it's not pleasing, I'll change what I'm doing to something that's more pleasing. See? Led by the Spirit. All right. Romans 4:21. Now we're almost there. And you can read the whole thing, but we're gonna look. I love what you say, Brother Don. The first time, it's the first time God does anything. You know, there's a special kind of a relationship, a special faith, like a wayfinder. And God told him, "I will quicken you. I'll bring you to life." And this promise, first thing, 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, the promise is none effect, and so on and so on. But here's what it says in verse 21. Well, he staggered not. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. For the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For this mortality must take on immortality. We've got to be remade into the image of God. We'll have a body like his glorious body, and caught up to meet him in the air. Do you believe that? No? That's some nodding. There's a Minnesotan nodding, I guess. I preached at Good Shepherd, and it's all full of wonderful African brothers. I'm not saying I think we got the only quiet one here, Brother Alfred. And it's God knows what he's doing. Amen. So glad to have you with us, and thank you for leading songs. It's such a blessing. But I know you believe that. Stand on that promise, because he's taking us to that body change. Okay? But the body change isn't the end. Okay? There's one more place that we're going to go. All right? And stand on this promise and say, this is where we're going ultimately, because Philippians 1. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And if he's begun a good work, there's a promise that he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You don't have to perform it. He will perform it. Okay? But what is the day of Jesus Christ? Well, it's many things. It's many things. But one of my favorite descriptions of it is in Revelation chapter 21. And this is where we're going. If he started the good work, this is something that he's going to perform in us to this point. I don't know why it affects me like it does. Probably because, you know, the more you see, the more you know how bad this world is. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." He that sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Praise God that we are living in a time when these words will be manifest spiritually. And this is the beginning of the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to perform this work in us till we are the tabernacle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Till we move beyond the senses and the flesh that surround us and bind us down. That the Holy Spirit is manifest through us. That he is dwelling with us. That we are his people today, in these bodies, in this time. We're that first fruit of what God is going to perform on the earth. When the new heaven comes, the new heaven is there, the new Jerusalem comes down. And God himself dwells on the earth.
Thank you.
And this is a promise that's worth standing on in this day. This is a promise worth standing on, knowing that it's going to come and manifest on this earth. And a promise that's worth standing on that will be manifest in our bodies, in this earth as well. And then we'll laugh and say, "Well, remember crying about it? God wiped away all tears. We entered into a new realm. We entered into a new place, a new dimension." And this is the promises. And somewhere in this channel of promises, and God gave them to all of us. And I know I said we talk about these promises that are manifest in the senses, but God gave them to us. Okay? You know, there are maybe someone here who has need of feeding. I don't know. There might be someone here who needs that healing. Those things manifest in the spiritual, the physical realm. Those promises are for us.
Amen.
But somewhere along the line is the promise that God has for you this evening. Somewhere along the line is the word that God has for you to walk in today. To stand on his word. No matter what is going on around you. Standing on the promises. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love to us. That you've given us many exceeding and great promises through your word, Lord, through the riches of your glory. Lord, help us to know which promise you have for us to stand on this evening. And having done all, let us stand against all the enemy. Let us stand on your word, for it will never fail. Heavens and earth will pass away, but your word will never fail till it's achieved what it's brought manifest for, Lord. And may we be your manifest promise in this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. We thank you for your love. Amen. Standing on the promises of God, I see. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Spirit just brooding over this little group, giving her exactly what she needs. Every week there's just something he just keeps bringing forth, and it's exactly what we need for the moment. And so far beyond churchianity, because we go out these doors and the word keeps working, doesn't it? And we walk out and you go to your homes and lay your head on your pillow and you pray yourself to sleep, and you wake up in the morning and pray yourself into the day, and you feel it working, and you feel him speaking, and you feel him drawing, and you feel him taking you out of this realm up into those higher planes. That something is going on, isn't it, brothers and sisters? How precious. There's nothing more precious. At this time, when our need is greatest, his help is the greatest. Always remember that. As he said, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you need him the most, he's there the most for you. Right? Oh, blessed be his name. Thank you, Brother Derek. That was so precious. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, to you we give praise and thanksgiving. You are so good to us. Seeds are sown, and again tonight, seeds, that's the bread of life that you've given to your children, and they partake and they eat it. And we're eating your word, Father, and that which we eat comes ingrained in part of every cell of our being. And so it is in the spiritual realm. The nutrients of that bread, feeding our soul, Lord, that is eternal, and taking precedence over the spirit. Truly, as the prophet told us, the control tower, Lord. Now take these again tonight. Let it bring forth fruit 100-fold, Lord. To you be glory and honor and blessing forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.